welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Well, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 20 and some other different things, but you know, I told you when Isaac called me, he said, now Sunday evening, he said, well, he was in fact surprised that I would, I said, well, do you want me to do Sunday evening too? He said, well, you mean you would do that? and he said, well, should you pray about it? And what I said was, I don't need to pray about it. I hope he didn't take that as, oh, I don't need to pray about it. I said, that's what the Lord's called me to do right now. So brother, I'll do it if you want me to come. And so anyway, he did then tell me, like most pastors do, you know, well, Sunday evening's a little shorter. So anyway, he said it could be just a devotion or whatever. So what I want to do tonight is we're going to look at the scripture and we're going to look at a couple other things. But then I'm just going to share with you just a little bit, and it won't be too long, I hope. No, I'm just kidding. It won't be too long. But I want to let you know what God is doing right now, okay? And I mean, He is alive and well. And the Holy Spirit is moving, and I'm telling you, if we watch the news and if we look around in the world today, it's pretty easy to get depressed and get, you know, I remember when I slid off the roof a few years ago I fell off the roof and fractured my back, and I sat in this chair for, I don't know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks, however much it was, and I told my wife, I said, you know, this minute I can, I'm dragging this chair out in the middle of the road and I'm burning it. Well, I kept my promise, but it wasn't in the middle of the road. It was over there where we wouldn't get in trouble. But anyway, I'm telling you what, it's so easy to get depressed if we just look around the world. So we're going to look at God tonight, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to see what He has to say. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, once again, I thank You, Lord, for this night. I thank You, Lord, that we can get excited about You when we're just by ourselves, Lord. You never leave us alone. You never leave us or forsake us. And God, we need You, Lord. We need You every day. We need You more and more, Lord. You are our only hope, and I thank You for that. Without hope, Lord, if this world was all we had, man, what would there be? So, Lord, I thank You. And Lord, I pray tonight that You would just take Your word, speak to our hearts, help us to listen, give us the ears to hear, Lord, what You have to say. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Oh, man. I want to just read that again. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, I heard a deal one time. It says you can tell how popular, I'm sure you've heard this before, but you can tell how popular a church is by how many come on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the preacher is by who all comes on Sunday night. And you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to prayer meeting. Amen. I tell you, you know, sometimes you tell that and you think about that, and people kind of look at you like, well, you know, you don't really need to be talking like that. But there's one thing that I've learned in 20, I don't know how many years now, but just be real. Just be real, because the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows. Now, don't be so real that you mouth off, but I've even been there to where He's kept my mouth shut. So, amen, we're covered, I'm telling you what. But I want to tell you, Him, to Him who is able. I think a lot of times we get a little scared to talk about what God's doing because we don't want the focus to be on us, a church, people, whatever, you know, because it's not about us. We don't want anything to be about us, but I guarantee you, people need to hear what God's doing. People need to hear what God's doing, and God knows your heart, because I'm telling you what, if you're going to puff up and take all the glory, you know, there was some guy in the Bible, I can't think of his name right now, but they said, there's a voice of a God. I think I'm getting this all right. Ron can correct me, but anyway, he didn't say, no, I'm not God or nothing, and the worms ate him. Who was that guy? Anybody know? I tell you what, Robert, who is that guy? Okay, sorry. It's in there. Don't get me wrong. It's there. I mean, don't think I'm lying to you because it's there. But we get so carried away of thinking about what we don't want to draw attention to ourselves that we draw attention to ourselves, I think. But anyway, to him who is able. To him who is able. Think about this. To do more than all we ask or imagine. Can you imagine some big things? Can you imagine some great things? I mean to tell you what, I can imagine all kinds of stuff. And the Bible tells us that God is able to do much more than that. That's just a small little deal. I want to share with you just a couple of little things over here. And if you go back into 2 Kings, I like the book of 2 Kings. And I like to talk about, and I like that story in chapter 4 where it talks about the widow. You know, her husband died, and all she said, all I have is just a little oil. That's all I have. Well, that was enough, wasn't it? I want you to turn there just for a minute. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to read down through here. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slave." And Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars." And this is the part I like. Don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. I'm telling you, that is cool when you think about it. This is what you need to do. You need to go around and ask all your neighbors for some empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. You know how many times that we should ask for more from God? We just expect a little thing, or we get a little bit of a glimpse of something, and then we stand back and we think, wow. Well, I'm telling you what, God wants to do so much more than that. It ain't even funny. He says, don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil out into all the jars, and each filled, I'll get it right here in a minute. I can't see out of my glasses. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it on one side. Put it to one side. She left him, and afterwards she shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. Let me tell you, that, man, we could just spend the rest of the time together on that right there. Let me tell you what, when we're so full of ourselves, there's no room for the Holy Spirit in our lives, amen? When we fill up our own jar, there's no room, or we fill up our jar with anything else but the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, He wants to fill us up. And he, when we accept Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord, we get filled. We get Him all at once. But it's what we surrender each and every day to Him. And so the oil just stopped flowing when the jars were full. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts." Oh, I tell you what, we limit God so many times. So many times. The Bible, does it really mean that when it says we live by faith, not by sight, does that really mean we live by faith and not by sight? There's another story I like to read, and another account. I don't like to call them stories because I always think of bedtime stories, and those could be true or false, but these are accounts. These happen, but here's one right here over in 2 Kings, back down into verse 15, chapter 6, verse 15. It says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." Now, you know what happened. The army was coming in around, and they surrounded the city. And Elisha says, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." That servant of Elisha got up and he went outside and he could see they just covered all around. And we're surrounded. And Elisha says, "Don't be afraid. Those are with us are more than those are with them." Look at this. And Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Man, that's my prayer every morning. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Woo-hoo! Man, I'm telling you, is that the same God we serve today? Is that the same God that did this? Is that same power still available today? Can we still count on God to do things in our life? You bet we can. Well, then why don't we see it? Why don't we see it happening? Because I believe it says when we have a form of godliness, but we deny its power. You know, so many religious people around, it ain't even funny. You know, I told you, I think the first time I was up here a year ago, I kind of told you what the Lord has done in our life. The Lord called us into evangelism. And it happened over a period of years, okay? And so the last time was down in Carrollton, and just in Sunday school class, this guy, just right out of the blue, it was one of the deacons, he looked over and he said, "You missed your calling, you're supposed to be an evangelist. Or you should have been an evangelist," that's what he said. And so I went right up after Sunday school, went into the service, and I said, "You know what?" Because I said, this is what's going to happen. Because when he said that, man, the Holy Spirit just... Because it happened twice before. And so, you know, the third time's a charm thing. So I went right up there. I said, "I don't know when, where, how, whatever, but this is what's going to happen. And when that time comes, this is what we're going to do." Well, that time came 2 weeks before COVID hit the first time. And it was, we hadn't even heard the word, or I hadn't anyway, heard the word COVID. And the Lord said, "Today's the day." So I go and I do just that. I say, "This is it. This is what God wants us to do." Well, then COVID hit and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So they asked us to stay on, and we stayed on and done all that stuff. But, you know, we was there 3 years, and there were some folks that maybe came a month after we was there, and they quit coming. It's just fine. But here's what this one particular, I'm just going to be real with you, okay? This one particular lady, it was, I knew the morning that I'm going to tell you what, this is where I'm going to start sharing some stuff that God's doing, okay? And I don't want you to think anything about me, but this is what God does. The morning that we knew, Jamie and I knew that this was the day, we knew that July, the end of July, this last Saturday, or last Sunday in July would be our last Sunday at church. I told him that morning, and so everybody, you know, said, "Oh, we'll miss you and all that stuff." And so I came home and I told Jamie, I said, "You know, I just feel like the Lord's going to do something through this evangelism thing," because there were some folks in the church and still are, that was so excited about that, wanted to be a part of the ministry and all that stuff, and was praying about it and all that. And I said, because the Lord had laid on my heart a tent, okay, tent revivals. And I know what some of you are saying right now, "Man, that's crazy, because nobody has revivals anymore." So that's what was on my heart. And so I came home. It was the 4th of July is when it was. That's the Sunday I told him. We drove up that night, and we had a little barbecue there for my sister and all my mom, and we come down. And I told my sister Linda, I said, "I just feel like the Lord's going to provide a tent." That's exactly what I told her. I said, "I wouldn't be surprised," because we was getting ready to go on a mission trip, and we was going to be gone out to Wyoming. We was going to be gone 2 Sundays, and we was going to come back for the last. I said, "I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord provides a tent." And we talked about it, and Jamie and I talked about it on the way up. And so, lo and behold, we get back from mission trip. We go and we preach our last Sunday, and we had a pizza party. Nothing wrong with pizza. But I thought, gosh, I was kind of bummed out. But here's the thing, this is where I'm going to be real, okay? This one lady, she was our church clerk. She called the DOM on me I don't know how many times. She would always come up and question Jamie when she'd done the children's message. "Are you sure? Blah, blah, blah." Just one of those ladies, you know. We love them to death. We do. But she just was not nice, okay? She was our church clerk. She was our pianist. She was the first one to say, and I'm not advocating anything about COVID and all that stuff, but when I said we shouldn't close the doors of the church, everybody just come if you want to, and if you don't want to, don't. She was the first one to tell me I was being irresponsible for not thinking of everybody else and all that stuff. And anyway, blah, blah, blah. She would come to the business meetings with her mask on, but she wouldn't come outside in the parking lot and sit in her car where she didn't have to be around anybody because she was afraid. So at our pizza party, they had just started coming back, her and her husband, about a month. I think it was right when they knew that we was leaving, okay? I'm just being real. So she come up to me and she said, "I'm just not ready for this. I'm going to sure miss you." And you know what come through my mind? What Jesus said to the churches, "You're neither hot nor cold, so I'm just about ready to spit you out of my mouth." And the way I interpret that is that makes Jesus sick. You know, lukewarm Christians make Jesus sick. That almost made me sick because what a fake. I'm just telling you the way that that is. And some of you might not like that, but I'm telling you that's the way it was. And that's what's wrong with a lot of churches today, because people see that. The world comes in looking for something, and then, I know that's my aunt, and she talks about this and that and then does that, and it's all a big sham. But let me tell you what. That ain't what it's all about. That's going to happen everywhere. God's still going to have his way. Because we had this pizza party, so I was discouraged, just a hair. I was sure God was going to do something. I thought, man, anyway, so that was our last Sunday. We're leaving, we go on vacation then. I know some of you thinking, man, you take a lot of time off. Well, I don't know. It's not that. But anyway, we went down and sat in the campground on Sunday evening. This was a week after that. Sitting in the campground on Sunday evening, and my phone rang. It was like 9 o'clock, 9:15, somewhere around in there. And this lady from Carrollton that doesn't go to church at Southside down there, she said, "I heard what the Lord's doing. And I've heard a little bit about how the Lord's leading you into this tent evangelism." And she says, "I'd like to be a part of that." And I'm thinking, oh, cool, man. This is good. Then she said, "Well, how much is that tent you're looking at?" And I said, "Well," and at the time, the one that I was looking at was $6,500. And I told her, and she said, "Well, you know what? That's exactly the amount that I was thinking about." She said, "I want to give that to you." What a way to start out a vacation. I'm telling you what, I got excited. I hardly slept that night. You know what I did? I just got on my phone and started looking at tents. You know, and I found that one earlier. I'd found that one, and then I was looking, and I was trying to figure out how to order that one. And it was gone. So the next morning, I just got up, and I started looking at another one. We found a company in Green Bay, Wisconsin, American Tent Company. There's a tent ordered, and it should be here by October 1st. And I'm just telling you, I was so excited. But that's just confirmation. That's what God wants to do. You think, well, you know, that ain't really no big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. That's a God thing. Because how many people just throwing around $6,500? Well, the church or the tent that I found was $8,000, okay? So when I pastored the Darlington Church, we was there for like 12 years. That's where I grew up. That's where I was saved. That's where I was baptized. That's where I was married. All, you know. And so I pastored there. The Lord blessed me to be able to pastor there for about 12 years. And so we had done lots of things through the church. And one of them was we sponsor a pastor, actually, in Romania. A Muslim that was converted, and he preaches over there now. And he's been here a couple times. In fact, he's going to be here in October. Anyway, we sponsor him, and so I knew that this account thing and was all set up, and we can do that. And I'm thinking, well, because this lady was a retired school teacher, and she had her money in whatever it was, but she couldn't get it out unless it went to a charitable organization. So she said, "It's not a deal breaker, but if I could do that, that would be great, because then I can get that money and all that." Okay, so, you know, so I called my brother-in-law that night about 9:30. Maybe that's why he got mad at me. No, I'm just kidding. He goes to bed early. But anyway, I called him up and I said, man, you're never going to believe this, because my sister, you know, I told her on the 4th of July that I just felt like the Lord was going to provide a tent. I called her up and I said, guess what? The Lord provided that tent. And she was, oh, boy. And I said, the lady's going to send the Darlington Church a check, and then you can just write it to me, and then I'll get the tent and all that stuff, so she can make sure she can get her money out and do all that stuff. Well, my brother-in-law thought, well, I don't know if we can do that or not. And so he called the right people and all this stuff, and he just called me back later on, and he said, no, we can't do it. And there again, I thought, man, I'm just a little discouraged. In fact, I was a little mad. For a minute, I wanted to get mad, okay? But guess what? God can do more than we can even ask or imagine or think what's possible and all that stuff. Because through that, he said, well, this is what the Missouri Baptist Convention's attorney said you need to do. You need to be get all the right paper. Is a 501c3? I don't even know. But anyway, you got to do all that, file this, board of directors, all that stuff. Well, guess what? That's all happened, and it was the four folks, it was the families down there in Carrollton that wants to be a part of it, that's going to be on there, and the attorney's already got, in fact, I got a call on the way over here, the paperwork's in progress, the tent's going to be here, it's supposed to be here by October 1st, I'm praying that it comes early, and then I know some of you are saying, well, because my mom asked me every time, well, where are you going to set that up at? I said, well, I don't know, God hasn't said yet. But I guarantee you what, it's going to be set up somewhere this fall. I'm not going to wait. God doesn't want me to wait for a church to call and say, hey, let's have a revival, okay? Because guess what? Churches don't do that much anymore. That's just not popular, you know? In fact, the last revival I went to last fall, that guy that called me, and it was a church that I pastored for a little while in King City. He said, you know, we just don't think revivals work anymore, but we'd like to have you come. I'm like, all right, I'll be there, but man alive, why would you say that? Guess what? Revivals didn't stop working. Churches stopped working, okay? Revivals didn't stop working because it's the same God that can do more than we can even ask or imagine. Oh, I'm telling you what, I'm so excited about this because it's not about me. And I can guarantee it's not about me because I'm just a nobody. I'm telling you. If God can work through me, and I've had no formal education, I've done none of this, I've done none of that, I just trust the Lord. And just like you can trust the Lord, okay? And I know you do. You trust the Lord, and He will work through you. And I guarantee you what, it doesn't matter who says what, it doesn't matter the things that seem like they're going to be obstacles, all that stuff, He'll move them away because He is greater. Oh, don't you just get excited when you think, man, I'm surrounded by all this stuff, and God opens your eyes and you see all the chariots of fire and the horses and all. Man, that's the same God. He wants to do it. He wants to do it in such a time as this, man. I'm telling you what a great time to be living. But let me tell you one more little story, and then I'm going to quit because I think I went over my devotion time. But anyway, same thing down at Carrollton. And I was telling you about that pastor, Samika. You know, I've met Samika and I'm friends with him and all that stuff, but we're not close friends. I hadn't talked to him for a long time. I look at his stuff, and he's in Romania. I look at his stuff on Facebook and read him, and I'll like him or whatever. But so, and like I said, the Darlington Church supports him and some supports to the kids' ministries and all that stuff over there. So I'm working on the house one day this fall, or this past summer, just a few months back, and I get this text from him. Well, it's on Messenger, and it dinged up, and I thought, well, what is that? And it says it's from Samika. I thought, well, that's weird. First of all, it was amazing that I was able to even open up Messenger and figure out how to read it. But anyway, I opened it up, and it says, hey, Brother Dwayne, blah, blah, blah. And he says, my heart's just broken. He says, we have a situation. His English is not the best, but he says, I have a situation. Breaks my heart. He said, this Muslim lady over there have three daughters, and she just got saved, okay? She had just gotten saved, and he had just baptized her. He sent me the video of the baptism and all that stuff. And her husband got so violent and everything, kicked her out of the house. He done went off the deep end. They lost their house, and the three girls was in an orphanage. And they had just went. He had just went with her that day. And they, he said, they were grabbing along to her arms or you know, arms around her legs and waist. Said, "We don't want to leave." There was an older one, but then the two little ones. We don't want to go. We don't want you to go, mommy. We don't want to stay here, and all that stuff, you know. Now, this lady has just gotten saved, okay? She just gave her heart to the Lord. And he said, this is what we need. And I hadn't talked, like I said, I haven't talked to him forever. Just like his stuff. He says, we need $10,000 to build her a house. And you're thinking, man, that don't build much of a house. Well, in Romania, that's, I don't know the exchange rate, but it's a good deal. And let me tell you what. At first, I read that and I thought, well, okay, I'll spread the word. So that's what I done. I texted him back and I said, brother, I'll let people know and we'll see what the Lord does. And he says, thank you and all that stuff. Okay, so that was in the middle of the week. So I go down and I get to Carrollton and I go to church, the early service. And I'm thinking about, I told him that I'd tell the people and we need to pray about it. And I was thinking about it. And I got to the early service and just the way most of the time it happens, just boom, and it just slips your mind. And I thought, man, I forgot to mention that. So I'll mention it in the second service. So I went to Sunday school, went up to second service, forgot it again. And I thought, what in the world? And I beat myself up all week about it. I thought, man, you know, Dwayne, you're not very whippy. You're not very with it. If you tell a man that is desperately sending out requests like that you will announce it and see what the Lord does, and then you just forget about it. You know how it goes. You know how the enemy does that. So the next Sunday I get there. And just at the end of the service, in the first service, I mention it. And I hope you don't hear this whole money thing. I'm just telling you how the Lord provides. It's not about the money. Because God's got way more than that stuff. I mean, what's $8,000 to him? What's $10,000 to him? That's nothing. That's what I'm telling you. It's about him. He can do more than we can ask or imagine. So I mentioned it. And that's what I did. I said, well, this is what's going on. And after, this was in the early service, about 25 people there usually. This lady and this man, he hollered at me. He said, hey, come here. He's an old truck driver, and he has bad knees, so he's in a wheelchair. And his wife, they're just as sweet as they can be. In fact, at the pizza party, she couldn't even eat because she was crying the whole time. And she said, it's my allergies. And then that night, she texts me, and she said, I'm sorry, I was crying. I just blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I come back there. They don't have no money. They don't have nothing. I go back there. And he says, hey, when you said that about that lady, Timberly and I looked at each other, Danny and Timberly is her name, we looked at each other, and we knew that we needed to give. And she said, and this is the next thing he said. And you know, he says, Timberly's mom passed away, as you know, and we've been working over there, and she's just gotten some of her inheritance and all that. And he said, we're going to give it to the church, but this is what we're supposed to do. And he said, well, $5,000 help? And I about fell over. I thought, well, $5,000 help? Yeah, that'd be awesome. And I go downstairs and I tell that in Sunday school. And this guy come up to me. He says, well, I'll give you another $2,500. So there's $7,500. And then there was a few, I mentioned it at the second service, and there's a few people come up and give me some cash and different things. And by the end of just that morning right there, there was almost $8,500, $8,600. So I just texted Mika and I said, man, the Lord provided, the money's on its way. Because I'm thinking, if God can come up with $8,600 in that long, and we got another week to get it, the rest of it will be there. We just got to do it. So anyway, but that's not the thing I want you to hear. Danny and Timberly always came to the first service. Okay, they always came to the first service. I don't know, it's just easier for him, I guess, with his chair and all that stuff. And I tell you what, I still get teary-eyed when I think about this, because it just hit me as I'm standing back there talking to them. And it hit them the same time. Because I said, yeah, I don't even know why I didn't mention this last week. And then I thought, and they looked at me and they said, we weren't here last week. Man, I'm telling you what. The power of prayer, because I can just see that lady that had just given her life to the Lord, I guarantee you she was earnestly praying, Lord, if you are really who you say you are, then give me my children back, because I didn't sign on and have you in my life just so I could lose my kids. And guess what? God on the mountain, he's still God in the valley, amen. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And so the last I knew, within like 4 weeks, the house was 60% done all the arrangements were being made. The mom and her daughters were going to be reunited. And I guarantee you what, it was through earnest prayer. It wasn't through the church. I guarantee if I would have went to the church and said, hey, this is what we need to do, the church would have said, well, let's have a business meeting, we'll see what we need to do. I'm not against business meetings. I'm not talking about that, but that's just the way it is. It wasn't supposed to go through the church. It was supposed to go through Danny and Timberly. And it was supposed to go to Samika. And that lady knows that, man, Lord, you are real. You are real. You're doing what you said you will do. But you know what? Here in America, and then good old USA, we've just gotten too smart. We've just gotten too smart. That widow, you know, he said, the man of God there, he says, what do you got in your house? He said, we don't have nothing but a little oil. Didn't talk about knowledge, money, any of that stuff. Didn't talk about any of that. We just got a little oil, but Lord, man, what's in your house? And what are you willing to give to the Lord to use? Because I guarantee you what, he wants to use it. He wants to use it. He wants to bring glory and honor to himself, but he wants to do it through us. He wants to do it through you. And man, if you get a whole church on fire like that, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be some great and mighty things. And there's going to be others that say that have been sitting in the pews right beside you for 50 years. Think, man, is that, this stuff must be real. I mean, when God starts working, he's going to work. He just needs willing servants. So I just want you to be praying about, because my prayer is now that tent will get here just a little early and that God will show me exactly where to set it up. And I'm telling you, I'm expecting a revival. I'm expecting it. I don't think God just says, okay, you know, here, there, and yon. I'm telling you what, I'm expecting it. I want you to expect it with me, okay? And we're going to give all the glory and honor to God. It's nothing about any of us. It's not even about the people that provided the money to do it, because they were just being obedient to God. It's all about God. But man, let's start talking about what God's doing in our lives. Let's start talking about what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives. And let's just listen to him and look for those things. Just look for them. Because the time is now to let your light shine. Let me tell you what. The time is now to let your light shine. And let's don't pray for this little light of mine. Amen. I'm telling you what. Let's get the big light going. Let's get the light of the world, Jesus Christ, shining through you. Because it doesn't matter what size of church. I told you this morning. It doesn't matter what size of church. You can have a big church and think it's full of life and be dead in a mackerel. But I'm telling you what, it's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit in you. That's what we need to be all about. Let's pray. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are such an awesome God. A God that we sing about, a God that we worship. And Lord, just help us to, we can't wrap our minds around. We can't understand fully how powerful and just how great you are, Lord. But I guarantee you, God, I want you to just show us more and more. Show us, Lord. Help us to be willing servants. Help us to just allow you. When we sing, I surrender all, Lord, help us to sing it from our hearts. And let's surrender all. Lord, just you tell us in your word what we can expect. You tell us what you'll do if we'll do certain things. And you will, Lord, because you're faithful. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the ability to pray, the privilege to pray. And Lord, help us to do that more and more. Teach us to pray. Oh, Lord. Thank you, God. Just please, Lord. We beg you, Lord, just send a revival. We need it so bad. Our families need it. Our churches need it. We need it, Lord. We need a revival. And we trust you, Lord. We know that you want it more than we do. So what's stopping it? It's your people, Lord. If we'll just humble ourselves and pray. But Lord, we don't need to be humble because we've got everything figured out. We've got riches and we've got this and we've got that. Help us not to be lukewarm, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help us humble ourselves and pray. And we'll just praise you for it. And Lord, we'll just give you the praise and glory and honor for everything that you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name, for his sake, that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.